Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, we had this sort of thing come together because it's National Wine Day. It's Oregon Wine Month, and how about we talk about wine? It seemed like the thing to do this afternoon. Greg Jones from Abicella Vineyards, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, National Wine Day, Oregon Wine Month. We've talked a little bit on other interviews about Oregon Wine Month, and I know that you got a couple organizations in the state that really work to promote wine, and it seems like Oregon wine's getting a lot more attention.
Well, yes, it is, Kyle. You know, going back to Wine Day, I'm not even sure where that started, but it's a good thing, I think. It's been around for at least a couple of decades, but the Oregon Wine Month has been with us for about 15 years now. It's been promoted from the state level down to all of the regions that grow grapes and make wine. The Umpqua Valley, the Rogue Valley, the Willamette Valley, Snake River Valley, Walla Walla, and so on.
And talk about Abicella. You took over how far back?
It's August of 21, so a few couple of years now.
Right in the middle of fun times.
Yes, fun times.
Oh
fun
boy!
Times.
So how's it been going since you took over?
Oh, it's been going well. My father Earl Jones and stepmother Hilda Jones were both retired, have moved to Portland, and they stay in contact and help guide me through it. But you know, it's been good. I trying to go from academia to managing grapes and managing wine is it's been a lot of fun. There's some challenges here and there, but it's just a real joy to be at the property.
Yeah, so talk about your background in academics and some of the places you've worked at.
So I initially did my PhD at the University of Virginia, but my actual project for my PhD, my dissertation, was on Bordeaux. So I spent a little bit of time in Bordeaux doing my work there. I worked at the University of Virginia as a research assistant and teaching assistant. And then I came out to Oregon in 1997, took a job at Southern Oregon University, and worked there for 20 years. Then went up to McMinnville and worked at Linfield University before retiring out of there and coming to Abicella.
So what did you do at the two universities?
Well, I'm an environmental scientist by trade. I've been studying climate mostly, but looking at the basic framework behind ecosystems and how they function relative to climate and soil and water. And so I taught classes that had to do with all of those different topics, but also statistics and mapping and things like that as well. While I was at Linfield, I developed a wine education program, which kind of used the same framework of all of that, looking at what's called terroir, or growing grapes in the environments that you're planted.
Wow, pretty fascinating stuff. And I suppose it is a transition to go from talking about it in those terms to actually being the guy in the field.
Well, to some degree. I've been, you know, at Abicella since day one. I was with my dad back in 1992 when we first made the decision to get the property. So I've been involved. I've always been kind of the weekend warrior for most of those years. And now being directly involved is a very different story. But I'm very, very happy to hang up my red pen and no longer grade papers and basically represent a great product.
And how are things looking during the spring for you now that we're kind of getting close to summer? It's been an interesting weather pattern. How's that impacted the grapes?
Well, for the second year in a row, we've kind of had a cool spring. Last year, we had a cool and wet spring that carried really into June, and we ended up having a frost, which was the first frost we've had ever at Abicella of any note. This year has been cool and wet, but it actually came out of it. Mid-May really kind of started the warm-up, and I think everything's looking really good. We're trying to catch up with growth. We had no frost this year, so everything looks really good so far for this season.
Yeah, it was interesting because last year we had so much rain in June. I don't remember the amount, but we had a number of events that were canceled outdoors in June that had never been canceled before. And so people were kind of looking at that, wondering if summer had sort of shifted to July to October in some ways.
Well, and that does happen. The atmosphere and the entire Earth system does kind of pulse a little bit of difference. While we expect things to be kind of normal. The system doesn't always work that way. And so you're right. I think we ended up getting more or less February weather in April and May last year. This year we had a little bit of that, but I think we've come out of it. We could still have rain in June, but right now everything looks really good.
Now, are you concerned that we haven't gotten enough rain if we're kind of done with it at this point?
Well, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more in February, March, April, but I think we ended up at a good place. And if we were to go from here on out without very much, I'd be fine with that.
What's with your background, one of the things that has always intrigued me about this type of work and other agriculture, really, is that it's Mother Nature, it's the weather, and you can do everything right and be successful or not so much.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. Mother Nature is in control. You're only kind of guiding and managing it around the edges, so to speak. But you really do have to kind of look at things as being somewhat fragile, and you have to react to them as you need and as quick as possible.
And what about when you get close to harvest and things get a little too hot? Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not, right?
It just depends on the nature of the crop for that year and how it's proceeding and what's happening. Is it going to be too hot in terms of extreme for a long period of time or a short period of time? Or could it rain during the middle of that? All of those kind of things necessitate a decision matrix that looks at the overall risk that's involved and tries to manage it.
And when you get right to the very end, I'm told that it is sometimes easy, but sometimes a tough decision to sort of pull the lever and start harvesting a particular varietal, because you're banking on the weather going a certain way, but if it goes a different way, you may have wished you waited a few days.
Yeah, you really do have to put everything into the bucket and try to make the best decision you can from everything that you have. Sometimes you make choices that you wish you could have changed just a little bit, but most of the time, I think if you're paying attention to your vines, how they're ripening fruit, what the forecast looks like, the conditions, I think most people end up making really good decisions.
Now, we've talked in past interviews with your father going way back a number of years about what led him here and all of that work. A lot of people are very aware of that. But with you jumping in now, you look around, everybody's viewpoint is different. You guys have stuck with estate vineyards.
Yes, we have.
And tell us why that is.
Well, we just think that from growing grapes to harvesting the fruit to making the wine and representing that product, we can do a much better job than if we were potentially buying fruit from multiple different locations. It doesn't mean that model it doesn't work. It's just that it's just different. And we feel very strongly that we can control things from start to finish in a way that really empowers us to make, I think, a really good product.
As I began to learn about wine a little over 15 years ago with really no knowledge at that point, one of the things was the microclimates of the Umpqua Valley and how many different varietals can be grown here, but not all in the same place.
Well, and that's a good thing to bring up. I did some work years ago when I was at Southern Oregon University, where I identified at least 72 different varieties being grown between the Umpqua and Rogue Valleys. And that just tells you something, that number one, we have the potential to do a lot of things, but number two, people are still trying to find what works best. And you really do have to look at each variety differently. When you have a property, you have to think about, what is this property going to give me in a more consistent framework in terms of, do I plant a little cooler, shorter season variety versus a variety that maybe needs a little longer hang time? You know, all of those decisions come down to thinking about the potential that site gives you.
Now, your property has how many acres in grapes?
Right now, we have 76 acres in grapes, and we have 17 different varieties that we grow.
Wow. Now, talk about sort of the topography of your land. You've got some hillsides too, right?
Yeah. We vary across those 76 acres from roughly about 500 feet to just over 800 feet, but it undulates across the framework. We have a lot of south-facing slopes. We have a few places where we have north and northeast-facing slopes, and then we have some westerly-facing slopes. And what we've done is we've made decisions to plant certain varieties in certain kind of slope aspect areas that benefit that variety so that we can ripen the fruit the way we want to.
And when your father planted, and you were in on this at the beginning, you said when Tempranillo was planted, there, everybody said, oh, that's not going to work.
No, I'm not sure everybody said that's not going to work. I think what they said, well, this is a great experiment, and I think that it's proven itself as being one, because I think when you go somewhere, for example, in a really hot region and plant a cool climate variety, people will say that's not going to work. But what worked in this case was that we were looking for a place that was ideally climate suited for Tempranillo and some of the other varieties we grew, and so we knew that was the case. I'm not sure anybody ever said it's not going to work. They waited and were waiting to see kind of what happened, and I think everybody's pretty happy about it.
All right, more with Greg Jones when we come back on Inside Douglas County, Oregon Wine Month, National Wine Day, the interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1, Shannon Sebastian with Your Q, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4, Oregon Wine Month, National Wine Day, and Greg Jones from Abicella Winery with us. Pat Spangler will be here on tomorrow's program. Now, at Abicella, you've got the acreage, you've got the wine, but especially as we get towards summer, you guys seem to have a lot of events going on.
Yeah, we've ramped up our hospitality. We really think we have a beautiful location for people to come visit. Number one, for Memorial Day weekend, we're hosting an open house where we have wine tasting and food, and you get a keepsake glass to take home with you. But we also do Pizza Fridays, and we do them every Friday in May, all the way through the summer till the weather doesn't allow it anymore, and we typically offer a very artisan pizzas available for that. Plus, we're starting our Velada on the Plaza, which is essentially a Music on the Plaza event that'll be every other Wednesday starting June 28th with local and regional musicians. For example, Adam Gabriel is first up on June 28th, and then Sonido Alegre is coming July 12th.
Wow. So a lot of things going on, and other events, I'm sure, later in the summer, too.
Yeah, definitely. We try to keep our calendar full, and we have a couple of wine club-related events, but general public events, too, and you can find them on our website.
Now, as part of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers, I know that you've got an event coming in Bend, not that far up the road, right?
Yes. On June 4th, we're holding an event at Tethro in Bend, where numerous wineries from the Umpqua Valley will be pouring their recent releases. We have a lovely hors d'oeuvre, and it's a beautiful venue. If you're interested in coming, you can go to the Umpqua Valley Winery's website and reserve a space there.
Kind of taking the story of what's going on here right out to the people there.
Yeah, exactly. We've been doing these Taste of the Umpquas in various places, and so this is our first time in Bend, and we're really looking forward to it.
So what's your assessment of how much potential the Umpqua Valley has for growing grapes?
Well, I think our potential is limitless. We have a lot of beautiful acreage, I think, that could grow grapes. We have reasonable access to water. We don't need to irrigate quite as much as other places do because we're not quite as hot. And I think people are really just really starting to find themselves. Producers in the region are producing a really nice range of wines. And, you know, we're a tourism-related area, too. So we don't have the population base that you might have near Portland or another big city. So we're trying to attract people here to the beauty of the Umpqua to come do outdoor natural-related activities and then other things and visit wineries within the region.
And are you seeing this year already that increasing as we kind of come out of the pandemic?
Yeah, we definitely have. I mean, I think the pandemic really kind of reset the clock, so to speak, on many things in society, and tourism and travel are clearly one of them. But this is the time of year. We've already seen an uptick in travelers coming through, and we really expect June, July, and August to kind of be that peak that it normally is.
Well, and just talking to some of the travel folks and hearing some of the national data, I know this Memorial Day weekend, for example, they figure it's going to be the busiest one busiest Memorial Day weekend in many years because everybody's pent up, ready to get out and go somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely. I think that holds for sure. And so having those holidays like the start of the season now and then coming up summer, I think we're going to see people traveling quite a bit more.
Now, talk about your climatologist work because you still do that as well, right?
Oh, yes, I do. I've kind of tried to keep my fingers in the broader climate science arena, but, you know, I do a lot of work for Abacella that tends to tie into the region as well. For example, we are one of the more instrumented sites out there. We have 4 weather stations, 24 temperature sensors, and 30 soil moisture sensors. And I report all of that information internally, but then I also write a monthly weather and climate report that goes out to roughly 5,000 people across the Western United States. And that keeps me both engaged locally and regionally as well.
Wow, that's a lot of gauges.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
And when you do that on the long-term basis, so I'm sure you can really see some things and understand some things that maybe otherwise you might be scratching your head at.
Well, exactly. It keeps me tied into the broader perspective so that what I'm doing at Abacella is tied to that. So when I write about the forecast for the next 3 months, I internalize that for my own operation as well.
And was it last year you were on, I want to say, 60 Minutes?
Well, it was 2021. It was Christmas of 21 and then January of 22.
And talk about what you were there for.
Well, I got invited to come talk about weather and climate change and how that's affecting growing grapes and making wine. The CBS production crew put together a great show that included some colleagues of mine from Europe and myself and Leslie Stahl, and I got to talk quite a bit about kind of the framework behind what climate means to growing grapes and making wine.
Wow. Was that kind of an unusual experience?
It was. It was really rewarding to have them recognize me and then also really listen and engage with me in terms of the content of the program.
And to get the Abacella name out there on their platform had to be helpful, too.
Yes, definitely.
Talk about working in the industry. What are some of the biggest challenges?
Well, we're a very geographically diverse state, and the different wine regions, whether you're in the Umpqua Valley, the Rogue Valley, the Willamette, or Eastern Oregon, in any of those regions, you know, we're very diverse. And so being able to increase collaboration so we can all be better winemakers and better stewards of our industry is a little bit of a challenge, but I think we do a pretty good job of it. Statewide, of course, we have more than we could do to make that better, but I think that geographic challenge is pretty dominant.
What is maybe the best part or the best few things about being a grape grower or winemaker?
Well, I personally, from my sense of it, it really gets back to the fact that you're doing something with the land. You're growing something that you can see from start to finish, and then you can manage that product into something, a value-added product that gets out to a consumer. And when consumers talk about it, when you show up somewhere and somebody you don't even know hears that you're from a given winery, Abacella, and they start telling you their experiences of that product, that's really rewarding.
Wow. What's ahead for Abacella in the next few years? Do you have some other ideas up your sleeve?
Well, we're just trying to hone in and fine-tune our operations so that we are more responsive to kind of our consumer base. We're looking at, of course, younger consumers because they're looking to drink different products in different ways. We're also planting a little bit more acreage, so we've got some plans in place for doing that.
What kind of shift are you seeing in that age range? Are there particular varietals that are more popular?
It's a little bit style difference. It's a little bit delivery difference. It's a little bit frequency. So there's a lot of different things that are happening, whether it's the wine comes to them in a different form, or in a different packaging. You know, those kind of things are really important.
Wow, a lot going on. And again, give folks your website address.
We're at abacella.com, and you can find all of our events there and make reservations for it. Or you can go to oregonwine.org to find more information about Oregon Wine Month.
All right, Greg Jones, Abacella, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.